From the lofty courts of heaven came a bud on earth to bloom, knowing when he left his father that his fate would be the tomb. But the grave, it could not hold him. Angels rolled the stone away. Now the mighty rose of Sharon is still blooming yet today. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes, we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
I remember when I met him, how the Spirit took control.
He established my going, now he stars in my life's role.
For a man to come from heaven, knowing men of Calvary.
Oh, what love beyond all measure, that he'd give his life for me. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. Oh, the next time he comes, we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
Yes, the
next time he comes,
we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
All right, thank you, Brothers Green, and for ministering in song. And the next time he does come, he's coming back for you and for me. And forever we shall be with the Lord. You know, folks, I told the morning congregation, we do not know what 2011 holds for us, but we could be opening the door to the second coming of Jesus Christ when that new year comes around. You say, preacher, do we know? No, we don't know. But you know what? We're supposed to be looking for that blessed hope. Keeping, listen, one eye to the ground and one eye to the sky. Working while we're watching for the Lord. Well, take your Bible this evening, if you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to begin reading down, beginning in verse 13. We're going to read down through verse number 16. Isaiah 49 and verse number 13. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God? Isaiah 49, and begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I want you to notice verse 16 for our text verse. He says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. I want you to notice, if you would, the last statement in verse number 15. The Lord says, you know what? A mom may forget her child. He says, but I will never forget thee. And he says, one of the ways that I want to show you that I'll never forget thee, he says, for I've graven you on the palms of my hands. I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. And I want to take that phrase tonight, talk to you tonight, church, and preach a little bit about in the palms of God. In the palms of God. Father, we do pray that you'd open our hearts tonight to what you have for us. Oh, Spirit of God, I don't think there's a person here, any born-again believer here, that doesn't want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I believe in their deepest, in their longings of their heart, they want to know what it is to have that special and intimate walk with God. And I pray, Holy Ghost of God, that you'd fill this room tonight with your presence. I pray that you'd minister to each heart tonight, regardless of what condition that heart is in. And then I pray, Lord God, that when we leave tonight, that we'll never forget the truth that shall be presented through your word. And remember, Lord, that we are forever before your eyes, and you shall never, ever forget us. And we ask your blessings now upon our time together tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Some time ago, while I was preaching, this must have been 2-3 months ago, maybe further, I was preaching down in Huntsville, Texas at the Ellis Unit State Penitentiary. While I was there preaching, if you've ever been, by the way, let me just stop and have a quick commercial to some of you men. You want to get blessed of God? Come go with me to the Huntsville, down to Huntsville to the Ellis Unit one time. I'm telling you, this past Tuesday we went down there, Brother Becker, myself, and Brother Bo Cabrera, and I'm telling you there was a mini revival that took place. And by the way, don't let Brother Becker fool you. That guy can preach. And he preached. But while we were there several months ago, I was approached by an elderly man that I had seen there many times before. And he approached me and he said, "Preacher, can I share a scripture with you?" And I said, "Well, of course you can. You can share a scripture with me." And I agreed for him to open the Bible up. And he opened his Bible. And he opened it to Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 16. And he says, "Preacher, you see right there," he says, "though I'm incarcerated," he said, "I've been in this penitentiary now for over 20 years and I'll be here for the rest of my life." He said, "Preacher, I'll never see the light of freedom again." He said, "But I want to show you something." He said, "God hadn't forgotten me." He said, "God hadn't forgotten me." And I saw that scripture and he says, "Yet will I not forget thee." And he says, "Behold, I am graven thee in the palms of my hands." And when he read that scripture to me, he gave me a little hand-drawn little piece of paper that he had kind of drawn out there, and you can't see it from here. And he said, "Preacher, I want you to have this." And I looked there and he had drawn just a kind of a quick sketch of a hand with the face of a person in the palm of that hand. You see, this dear man had been in the penitentiary incarcerated for over 20 years and will be there for the rest of his life. He shared with me that he had lost everything. Everything he had lost. He'd lost his marriage. He'd lost his business. He'd lost his children over a foolish mistake. You see, he said, "Preacher, no one comes to visit me. No one cares about me. No one sends me letters. No one puts any money on my account so that I can buy anything." He said, "I've been forgotten by people that loved me the most." He said, "I don't know what's going on the outside," but he said, "Preacher," he said, "God showed me Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 16. And he says, "You know what?" He said, "The reality of it, preacher, is that I had reached the lowest point of despair that a person could reach while being in here." He said, "I was at rock bottom, preacher." He said, "But someone introduced me to Jesus Christ." He said, "I got born into the family of God. And all of a sudden I realized, you know what? Even though I've lost my marriage, lost my kids, lost my business, nobody talks to me no more. Nobody sends me any letters anymore. He said, but God hasn't forgotten me, preacher. He said, I'm carved. I'm graven into the palms of His hands. He said, God knows where I am. He told me, preacher, he said, shortly thereafter, after I got saved, he said, I was feeling rough about things on the outside. And he said, this is where God directed my attention to in this scripture. And may I say to you tonight, dear church, that as that dear man who will be incarcerated for the rest of his life had enough sense to open the Word of God up and begin to read and realize that God hasn't forgotten you. God knows right where you are. God knows everything you're going through. He knew where this dear man was, even though he'd been in prison 20 years and going to be there longer and longer and longer. Yet God knew where he was. You see, we're graven upon the palms of his hands. You know, it's been said that Israel, over the course of thousands of years, would inscribe or carve or engrave symbols either on their hands or in the palms of their hands as a reminder of the temple or the tabernacle or some special place of service and worship in Jerusalem. They call them the ensigns of Jerusalem. Even today, Orthodox Jews wear phylacteries on their forehead and around their arms as a reminder of the commands of God. May I say to you that the palms are probably the most accessible and visible part of your body. Think about how many times you look at your hands. Think about how many times that you use your hands. Think about all these things, and yet God said that you and I, because of Christ, are carved and graven into the palms of His hands. You see, the hands are the most usable part. We probably look at our hands more than any other part of the body. God's simply trying to comfort Israel here. He's trying to comfort us today, even in our turmoil, even in the problems of life. You don't think Israel had problems? You know what? They spent most of their time in captivity. They spent most of their time going, being persecuted from one enemy to the next enemy to the next enemy. And yet God Almighty said, I haven't forgotten you. He said, even though you've been scattered abroad all over the earth, He said, there's going to come a day that I'm going to draw you back to me. Why? Because you're in the palm of my hand. You're constantly before my face. You see, here's the message that God was communicating to Israel as well as us today. Just as He allowed Israel to be taken into captivity over and over and over again, may I say to you tonight, church, there may be a reason that America is in spiritual captivity today. But He hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten Trinity Baptist Church. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are and what's going on in your life and in my life. And I want to take Isaiah chapter 49 tonight, if I could, and point out some things about us and being in the palms of God. I want you to circle several phrases here in Isaiah chapter 49. So if you got your pen tonight, we're circling them. We're going to go back and examine each one. And first of all, you'll find the first phrase in Isaiah 49. Right down about halfway through, you'll find the phrase, my name. I want you to circle that phrase, my name. Then you'll find in verse number 3, I want you to circle the phrase, my servant. Then I want you to go down, if you would, in verse number 5, the last two words of verse number 5, and circle, my strength. I want you to go down in verse number 6 and circle the phrase, my salvation. And then I want you to go all the way over to verse number 22, and I want you to circle right in the middle of that verse the two words, my standard. Now folks, listen. This is about as easy an outline as you can follow in Scripture. God's got it all laid out for us. You know, anybody can preach this. Because God's got the outline laid right down in the Bible for us. And I'm here to tell you tonight, dear friend, that it's all because we can talk about all these things tonight. Why? Because we've been graven in the palms of the hands of Almighty God. And because we are, did you notice in verse number 1 of chapter 49, listen to what he says, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. Listen now, hath he made mention of my name. Can I say to you tonight that God knows your name? Out of all the millions and billions that have ever been on planet Earth, God in heaven knows you by name. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows every problem you have. And yet here, the Creator of all says, you know what? I can call your name because I've graven you in the palms of my hands. I've looked at you day after day after day. I know who you are. May I say to you tonight that you're looking at somebody because of Jesus Christ? I'm somebody. And may I say to you, you're somebody. You see, I'm only somebody because of Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm a believer priest. I'm a child of God. Why? Because God Almighty has graven me in the palms of His hands. I never am gone before Him. I'm always before His face. He's constantly looking. Hey, He remembers who I am. Would you mind going, if you would, to Psalm 103? Keep your place there in Isaiah 49 and turn to Psalm 103 and verse number 8. Psalm 103 and verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, thank God, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. Listen to this. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Can I say something to you folks? Because there's a God in heaven that knows exactly who I am and who you are. Why? Because I'm right there. I'm right there in the palm of His hands. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. You know why He knows that? You know how He knows who we are and who you are and what's going on in your life? Because I've been graven in the palms of His hands. Listen, when God looks down at those hands, those same hands that created all things, those same hands that take into consideration all of our problems and all of our needs, those same hands that touched your life the day that you got saved, you're graven in those hands. He told Israel, I'll never forget you. He said, it doesn't matter where you're spread abroad. I know where you are because you're in the palms of my hands. I remember you. You see, I'm somebody. Why? Because He calls my name. See, the thing about it is God's calling somebody's name tonight. He said, what is He calling my name for, preacher? I don't know. Why don't you ask Him? He's calling somebody's name tonight. He's calling you by name while I'm sitting here talking and preaching to you. There's a still small voice that's superseding my voice that's calling your name. He wants you. So what does He want me for, preacher? I don't know. Why don't you ask Him? See, that's our problem. Most of us are afraid to ask Him. When He calls on us, we're afraid to ask. Lord, here am I. Send me. Because we're afraid He will send us. You see, I'm somebody just simply because that I'm graven in the palms of God's hands. You see, tonight, you may be going through some turmoil. You may be going through some tragic situations. But may I say to you, there's a God in heaven that you've never left the palm of His hand. You got there the day that you got born into the family of God. Graven into the hands of Almighty God. I want you to look, if you would, at verse number 3. Not only does God know me by name and I'm somebody, may I say to you, I'm a servant to God. He said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Look down in verse number 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant. Look down in verse number 6. And He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant. How many times does God have to mention something for us to get it? Here in 3 verses He said, listen, I put you, engrave you into the palm of my hand, not just because you're somebody. He said, you're my servant. You're a servant of Almighty God. I didn't save you to sit. I saved you to serve. And by the way, dear friend, I wonder if God could consider us a servant. You say, why? Why did God Save me to serve, preacher. Hold your place in Psalm 49. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would, and look in verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. I'm a servant to God. Hey, I'm somebody. I've been graven in the palms. Listen, when God Almighty looks into that palm, He sees somebody. But you know what? He also sees a servant that He saved to do service for Him. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, listen now, or whatsoever you do. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you know what God expects you and I to do? He expects us to glorify Him. He expects us to glorify Him because we're somebody, but because we're a servant of the living God. And we've been graven into the palms of His hands. And His promise is that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never forget us ever. I'm a servant to God to bring glory to Him. Say, how, preacher? Well, first of all, with my life. I'm supposed to be a testimony. I'm supposed to be a living sacrifice before the world. I'm supposed to bring glory with my life and with my testimony. Listen, I wonder how many of us in 2010 can look back and say, my testimony stunk for the glory of God. I didn't bring God glory. I took glory. I wonder how many times we can look back and look at our testimony and find out how many times that we could have testified for the Lord and didn't. See, we're to bring God glory with our life. We're to bring God glory through our obedience. You say, obeying what, preacher? Let's start with obeying the Bible. Let's just start by obeying what God says we're to do in the Scriptures. Hey, we're to bring Him glory. God looks down at the palms. He said, I've graven you in the palms of my hands. I'll never forget you. He said, I want you to bring glory. You're a servant. You're a servant. He said, what else are we supposed to do, preacher? I want you to look down in verse number 6 of Isaiah 49. I tell you, look in verse number 5 first. He says, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him. Look down in verse number 6. That thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. May I say to you tonight, folks, when you go back and read Isaiah chapter 49, I understand the context in which all of this is written, talking about Israel, talking about the Messiah. I understand that, but may I say to you tonight that the Scripture has a particular interpretation, but it has many multiple applications. And I want to make an application to you and I tonight that because we're engraved in the palm of God's hand, that listen, He wants us not only to bring glory to God, listen to me, He wants us to bring believers to salvation. He said, you're to be my salvation to people. You're to be the ones that are to go out and get people saved and tell them and revive them for the glory of God. Let me tell you something, dear friend. We live in a day and time, in an age today in 2010 where personal, evangelistic, door-to-door, confrontational soul winning is being ignored. That's our responsibility. Thank God that somebody believed in personal, door-to-door soul winning because they came knocked on my door. And I want you, some of you, look at me. Somebody came knocked on yours too. You better thank God that somebody still believed in confrontational evangelism. Go and tell them people about Christ. Go and tell them about the saving blood of Jesus Christ. And then stayed after it, and stayed after it, and stayed after it. You know why? Because they're graven in the palms of the hands of God. Not only are they somebody, they're a servant. They're going to bring glory to God with their testimony, with their obedience, with their service. Hey, we're to bring believers to salvation. We're to bring believers to Christ. But may I say also to you that we're to restore the fallen. Don't turn there. You can write it down in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Brethren, by the way, that's us. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In the spirit of meekness. Can I say too, the Holy Ghost didn't stop right there. He said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be the one somebody's having to restore. Hey, let me tell you something. If not for the grace of God, it'd be you in 20 years in the penitentiary. Let me tell you something. If that old boy could trade places today with somebody, he'd do it in a heartbeat, but he can't. May I say to you, you and I are one bad decision from being in the penitentiary ourselves. You're one stupid decision from being there and somebody come preaching to you. You're one decision away, just like I am, for someone saying, hey, preacher, can I show you a verse that God showed me in the Bible? I'll be in here for the rest of my life. But look what God did. God showed me a verse that He had not forget me, that I'm graven in the palms of His hands. And may I say to you there that when a person gets born into the family of God, sure, he's talking about Israel here, but may I say to you, because of the shed blood of Christ, I've been adopted into that same family. And I'm graven right there in the palms of the hands of God, right next to the great patriarchs of the faith, the great people of faith. And may I say too that every born again believer that's been saved, whether he's in the penitentiary or whether he's a derelict on the road, may I say to you that if he's been born again, he's carved in there as well, right next to you. Hey, I'm just saying to you that listen, God says, because he's carved us in the palm of his hands, engraved us in the palm of his hands, I'm somebody. And I'm a servant to bring glory to God. I'm to bring believers to repentance. I'm to restore the fallen. Hey, I'm to revive the weak. People in the church going through problems. I need to be a problem, I need to be a problem solver, not a problem. Bring sinners to Christ. Hey, we're to let our light so shine. Last thing Jesus said before he stepped on the taxi cloud and ascended into glory. Last thing he told the church to do was to be a witness. Hey, we're to be a servant. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Hey, I'm to be practicing soul winning personally. And I'm also to be practicing it through missions, through world outreach. Don't ever forget, church, that as a servant of God, as God looks down at his hands, and I've been graven in the palms of the hands of Almighty God, the same hands that created everything, I'm there. He sees me and knows me. I'm somebody. I'm a servant. But don't ever forget, servant yields to his master's will. That's the reason you need to yield your hands, that your hands can be his hands. You need to yield your feet, let your feet be his feet. Let your eyes be his eyes. Let your lips be his lips. You see, when God looks at his palm, I'm there. I'm somebody. I'm a servant. Look down, if you would, in Isaiah 49 and verse number 5. I had you circle a phrase, my name, my servant. And then he says in verse number 5, if you'll notice the rest of that, though he said, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Folks, we're looking in all the wrong places. We're looking in all the wrong places for strength today. And listen, if we're going to survive in the world that God has put us in here today, you're going to need strength from another source beyond what you think. You're going to need the strength of God. Hey, let me tell you something. When I'm graven in the palms of the hands of God, I have access to the strength that God desires me to have. You say, where can I get strength from God? Hey, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of what? Hey, how about the joy of knowing I am on the winning side? How about that? How about us starting out realizing that, you know what? Folks, you're not going to lose. You've already won. The devil is a defeated enemy. Hey, he can't win. Oh, by the way, he knows he can't win either. It's not about winning to him anymore. Remember we learned that? It's not about winning to the devil anymore. It's about destroying. Because he can't win. Hey, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of being on the winning side. Hey, how about the joy of being favored by God so much that he'd grave you into the palm of his own hand? Hey, there are people making markings on their bodies all kinds of ways today. You know what? Only marking that I ever want to be a part of is that being that graving in the palm of the hand of God. That's the only marking I ever want to be associated with. Hey, the joy of being favored by God, the joy of being blessed by God. Hey, how about the joy of what I'm going to inherit one day when I see Him face to face? You say, oh, what's so big about inheriting what God asked for? Well, first of all, I'm inheriting a new body. How about that? I said, boy, you need one. Yeah, I do. And I'm going to get one too. I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to get a new mind. Praise God. Hey, the Scripture is very plain that when I see Him, I shall be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is. This old mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruption is going to put on incorruption. And I'm going to be just like Him. Glory to God. Why? Because the Lord's my strength. I've been graven in the palms of His hands. May I say to you, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3. Do you know waiting on the Lord is strength? Oh, by the way, when we talk about waiting on the Lord, He's not talking about sitting and watching. When He's talking about waiting, He's talking about serving. Listen to this, Isaiah 40 and verse number 3. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, He says, for those of us who wait upon the Lord, we shall renew strength. And renew strength. You know why people in the house of the living God have become weak in their faith? Because they're not waiting, they're not working, they're not serving, they ain't doing nothing. And they become weak in the faith. And by the way, did you know the Scripture says that if you faint in the day of adversity, it's a sign that your strength was small. Now, waiting on the Lord, serving God. Proverbs 24 and verse number 5. Let me read you another one. Knowledge of truth is strength. The Scripture says a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. You know what? Knowing this Bible, knowing what is contained in this book and what God expects of you is strength. It's strength. You say, well, how do I know, preacher, what the Bible contains? Well, how about let's start reading it? Now, come watch night service out on the hospitality center. There's going to be a brochure out there that we put out, and it says you can read through the Bible in 1 year. May I say this to you? How about you say, I can't read through the Bible in 1 year. Maybe we ought to put it out there and say, read through the Bible in your lifetime. Because some people haven't even read through the Bible in their entire life. No wonder. No wonder that religions around the world mock us and laugh at us and scorn us. It's a sad day, my dear friend, when the Muslims have more respect for their false gods and the appearance and their outward appearance and the way that they look and how they serve more than believers do. They ain't even graven in the palms of the hands of God. I'm here to tell you, knowledge of truth is strength. Proverbs 10:29, the Scripture says, the way of the Lord is strength. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. So what way is that? How about figuring out what God's will is for your life and get in it and do it? Folks, do you realize what would happen if everybody in this church knew exactly what God's perfect will was for their life and then did it? You see, I'm convinced we have a congregation full of people that know what God's will is for life, but they ain't going to do it. Because you know what? When God unfolded the whole picture to them, they said, you know what? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Now, what I'm saying to you is there's a bunch of people here that know the will of God. They're just not going to do it. What if everybody found the will of God? Every member of Trinity Baptist Church found the will of God and decided, you know what? I'm going to do it for my life. Can I say something? I'm looking around here at a bunch of kids. Do you know God's got a will for your life as a kid? Hey, folks, listen to me. Do you know the will of God don't start when you're 21? Hey, God's got a will of God for every child. in this auditorium. Now, they may not know the perfect will of God, but Mom and Dad, let me tell you something. I know one will, part of the will of God is for them to be in church and Sunday school. And to be serving God and telling people about Jesus. I know that's the will of God for every one of them's life. May I say, teenager, God's got a will for your life as well. I tell you one thing, some of the greatest soul winners and some of the most exciting people I've ever met in my lifetime are teenagers who knew what the will of God was and got right in the middle of it. And I'm telling you, they were some of the most exciting individuals that you could ever be around in your lifetime. Not only because of youth on their side, but because of the excitement of getting involved in God's will for their life. Hey, I'm just telling you, the way of the Lord is strength. Knowing God's will is strength. Getting truth and knowledge is strength. Waiting on the Lord, serving, doing something for God is strength. Why? Because when God looks down in the palms of His hand, you know He sees you. You're graven there. You're somebody. You're a servant. That's, we have access to His strength. Let me give you one more. Turn over, if you would, to Psalm 49. Or I'm sorry, Isaiah 49 and verse 22. I had you circle the phrase, my name, because we're somebody. We're graven in the palms of God. I had you circle the phrase, my servant. God says that's who we are. That's what we're saved to be. I had you circle the phrase, my strength. We have access to it. My salvation. Because that's what we are. We're to be a testimony and a witness. But I also ask you to circle the phrase, the two words in verse 22. God says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. That word standard there just simply means an ensign, a banner, a flag. I understand that what God's talking about here and who He's talking about here about setting up a standard. Not only is He talking about the Lord Jesus and the Messiah and Israel, but may I say to you today that I believe God, that there's a standard for the people of God today as well. There's a banner that we should be flying today as well. There's a sign, there's a flag that we should be flying today. You see, Israel was to be that banner just as we are today. Just as Israel was supposed to advertise Messiah, can I say today we're supposed to be advertising Jesus. How do I advertise Jesus, preacher? Well, first of all, how about looking like a Christian? Do you know when I go out and I'm shopping, but you know, most sincere Islamic women, I can tell who they are. And they're not ashamed of it. You see, they've got more respect for their false God than we do for the Creator. And they're willing to dress right for Him and talk right for Him and think right for Him and look at us. Folks, ain't nobody taking us seriously. Why? We won't even look right. Hey, we don't want to look right. Well, that's just your opinion, preacher. Read it. Okay, then teach me what it says. We're supposed to be a testimony. We're supposed to be a standard. We're supposed to be everything that we do. Did it not say whether we eat, whether we drink, or whatsoever we do, we're to do it all to the glory of God? Have you ever thought about before you do anything? Before you say anything, before you go any place, before you listen to any type of music, before you do anything, before you put anything on, has it ever dawned on you to think, is this going to bring glory to God? See, most of us, we're not concerned about bringing glory to God. We're concerned about bringing glory to us because we want people to look at us. And they're not supposed to be looking at you. They're supposed to be looking at Jesus. We're supposed to be reflecting and we're supposed to be a standard. Hey, folks, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And I'm to reflect that outwardly. But wait a minute, I'm to reflect that inwardly as well. You see, folks, one of the last things to come when a person gets born into the family of God, one of the last things to come is the outward appearance. That's the reason we got to work on the inward first. That's the reason the Scripture says we're to work out our own salvation because it starts inward and works its way out. You see, it doesn't matter, or it does matter, how you appear, how you dress, and how you present yourself. Amen? It does. You say, no, it doesn't. Okay, then would you explain to me why God went to great lengths to describe how to identify a harlot in the Bible? You know what most of the description was that he gave? It was all outward. He said, that's how you identify her. Can I tell you, it was easy to identify a leper also. Yeah, people were able to identify them. I wonder if they can identify a Christian today. Amen. See, what I'm saying to you tonight, church, is simply this. God's graven us in the palms of His hands. We're there. We're somebody. We're somebody. Yeah, it does. It is important how we look outwardly. But may I say to you, it's even more important how we look inwardly. What's going on inside? Listen, I promise you. You show me a person get right with God inside, they won't have a problem with anything that book says. Won't have a problem with it. So where do we have to start, preacher? We've got to start inside. We've got to start working what's going on in the heart of every child, of every teenager, and every adult. You know, I have to work on myself every day. You know something? There's going to come a day, glory to God, when the Lord comes back or I go meet Him in death, I ain't going to have to work on this body anymore. But until that day, I got to work on it every day. You ever get tired of that? Hey, have you ever noticed that about the time you think you got the old flesh beat down, you think, yes, I've won! You have to go to sleep sometime. And while you're asleep and the spirit begins to relax, it's amazing how the old flesh can revive overnight. Somebody, I don't know who it is, somebody's giving that flesh CPR while I'm asleep. Somebody is, and I have a sneaky suspicion I know who it is. Because when I wake up the next morning, you know what? It's ready to roll again. It's ready to fight you again. It's ready to battle you. That's the reason Paul said that I die daily. May I say to you, church, in conclusion, and remind you that also, not only when God looks into the palms of His hands, does He see somebody and a servant, and we have access to the strength of God, and that I'm a standard. I'm supposed to be a banner. I'm supposed to be an ensign for the cause of Jesus Christ. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. May I say to you that also, sitting at the right hand of God tonight is the Son of God. And may I remind you tonight when He looks at His hands, you know what He sees there also? He sees there something that you and I put there. Those didn't get there by choice. Those nail-scarred prints in the hands of the Son of God were put there by your sins and my sins. You see, I must remind you today that when Jesus looks down at those hands, that He sees those nail scars that were put there by you and me. That scar in the hands of Jesus will be eternally engraved into those hands. When we get to heaven and I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at that judgment seat, I just wonder if He says, dear servant, before we get started in the examination process, can I show you something? And He holds that hand up and says, see that right there? That right there is graven into my palms forever and ever and ever. And He says, that right there, that nail scar in my palm is a sign. It's an ensign. It's a banner to show you how much I love you and how much I care for you. Think about that. As you chew on that this week, as we enter into 2011, can I say to you tonight, dear ladies and gentlemen, teenagers and young people, that you have been graven into the palms of the hands of God. You're somebody. You're a servant. You have access to the strength of God. And now what He wants us to do is to be a standard to the world, a banner to the world. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many tonight can say, "Preacher, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that I've been born into the family of God. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm proud of it." Slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me, preacher. I know, I know, I know, I know I'm saved. No question about it."